All right, so let's talk about progress and falling up. Progress and falling up. Let's talk about progress and how does progress work. Let's talk about your life. Think about the past 10 years of your life. And think about how the past 10 years of your life, like you have just gone from win to win to win to win. Like the past 10 years of your life, when you look back at it, like you started doing some things, you attempted to do some things, and you found out you were awesome at those things. And then you started to do some other things, and you found out you were awesome at those things too. And then you just hit a stride, and you were just on this roll, and you were going from being awesome to more awesome. The past 10 years of your life, there have been no disappointments. There have been no setbacks. There have been no unplanned mishaps. The past 10 years of your life have just been, like if you looked at your life on a chart, if you looked on your life was put up and it was a line graph, the last 10 years of your life would just be one arrow just constantly going up and to the right. And you've just been going from great to good to better to even better to more awesome to even more awesome. Like that's what the last 10 years of your life have been like. Anybody relate to that? No, you don't. You know why we don't relate to that? Because that's not how life is. And that's not how progress works. Has there been progress in your life in the past 10 years? And so when we talk about progress and what progress looks like and how progress works, I think part of the problem, part of the struggle, the challenge for us is that progress doesn't work the way that we think it should work. So I have a little video, short instructional video that's going to teach you how progress works. So really short video, doesn't have any sound. So just turn your attention to the screen if you would. This is how I think progress works. So let's see this. He's progressing. He's gonna. You're waiting for him to come back down the other side. I know what you guys are doing. That's how I think progress works. That, you know, we think like it means you're just going from win to win to win. But you know, really, what happens is when we go through life, like sometimes we just feel like we are falling backward in slow motion on an escalator. But here's what's interesting. When he emerges from that debacle, he's higher than he was when he started. When he comes out of that tumble, that slow motion backwards fall, he's actually on a higher level. That's the way progress works. Progress is like a slow backwards fall upward. And I think that what happens for many of us is if we do not understand what progress looks like, then we have a tendency to completely miss the whole point. So I think if you have that image, put that image up for me. I think this is more what progress looks like for us. Two steps forward, one step back, one step forward, two steps back, three steps forward, two steps back, one step forward, four steps back, five steps forward, two steps back. And when you add all of that up, it's actually one step forward. Maybe the past 10 years have looked like that for you. Is that a little more realistic? But here's the thing. There's a lot of movement. You've taken 11 steps backward. And those steps backward, I mean, they haven't been things that you've enjoyed experiencing. Those 11 steps backward were difficult and painful and humiliating. But you also took 12 steps forward during that same process. And I think that when we go into and towards success and progress, we have to realize that those slow motion backwards falls are actually part of the process. Those disappointments and failures and setbacks and mishaps are all part of the process. And you can look back and you can see that you've actually moved forward. So there's this story in the Bible that Jesus told. And he tells this story about two men. And he says, you know, these two men, they go. And in this story, what Jesus does is he just unravels our ideas about success and progress. So I want us to look at this together, and it's in Luke chapter 18. And you can look at your bulletin notes. It says, two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and he prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You know, Jesus is telling a story within a story. He's using images and ideas that people during that time would have immediately understood. The Pharisees, like, they were the upper class. They were the morally upright, upstanding, the pillars of the community. They were the ones that everyone looked to and everyone wanted. They were the picture of just a, you know, clean and upstanding person. And then the tax collector was, you know, just on the complete opposite end of the spectrum, looked down upon, despised, you know, just kind of a someone who was a misfit and an outcast of society. Jesus says, these two guys, they go into the temple, and the one that you think is good, he turns that guy into the bad guy. And the one that you think is bad, he turns him into the good guy. That's the story of the gospel. That's the story of the cross. The cross is this idea that when things look like they are failing, when things look like they are negative, when things look like they're bad, that God is at work. He's subverting our ideas about good and bad. He's subverting our ideas about holy and unholy. He's turning the whole thing upside down. And he's teaching us about the gospel. The guy who leaves, the guy who makes the most progress in the story, isn't the one who's standing tall because he's good, but it's the guy who is falling down. The one who is so ashamed because of his lifestyle, his struggles, his failures, thinking about all of his steps backward, that he can't even lift his head and look to heaven because he's so guilty and ashamed. Jesus said, that's the man who made progress that day. And so think about the things in your life that have made you feel so bad that you just want to lower your head in shame. Think about the last 10 years of your life. I mean, the mistakes that you've made that you have just felt like an idiot. You ever have those days where you just feel like an idiot? I mean, like you're in the grocery store, you run into somebody, you're talking to them, you know them a little bit, enough to call them by name. Hey, Mary. Hey, Jim. Hey, and you have this conversation, you say their name 6 times, and then you walk away and realize that you've called them the wrong name the whole time. So take that feeling and multiply it by 100. You know what I'm talking about? That feeling. The one where you just feel like an idiot. God is doing things during those days. The days where you just feel like a complete total failure. Progress. See, the problem with progress is that it doesn't look like progress. The problem with progress is that it doesn't feel like progress. So, a couple of thoughts, a couple of questions about progress. The first one is this. Are you embracing progress? Are you embracing progress in your life? You know, I was thinking about the civil rights movement of the 60s. And it was a time in our nation when there was incredible division. There was hatred and violence was, just being spewed. African Americans were being thrown in jail. They were being beaten. They were being publicly humiliated. And yet, that was progress. Now think about if you are at a front row, if you have a front row to that movement, and you're seeing the division, and you're seeing the hatred, and you're seeing the violence, and you're seeing the injustice, and you're watching this unfold in front of you, do you look at this and say, this is progress? Do you look at this and say, this is a necessary darkness that has to emerge so that light can then spring forth? Do you look at that and say, the soul of a nation is being changed right now? Progress doesn't always look like progress. Progress doesn't always feel like progress. You know, there's a story of Mother Teresa, and Mother Teresa devoted her life to serving the sick and the leper community and the diseased of India. And she had been in Calcutta for a number of years, and then someone came to her and said, Mother Teresa, you've devoted your life to loving and helping and serving the lepers of our city. And then they said to her, do you know that there are actually more lepers in our city today than there were when you first got here? How do you feel about that? Don't you hate those people? Jerks. How do you feel about that? And then Mother Teresa famously replies, God has called me to be faithful not to be successful. Mother Teresa said, I'm not keeping score. I'm just doing what God's called me to do. So many times our approach to progress is always measurable and quantifiable and logical. But what about when God calls you to do some things that look like falling backward in slow motion up an escalator? Sometimes success doesn't look like success. Sometimes success doesn't feel like success. So, are there things in your life right now that you're going through that don't look like success and don't feel like success? See, because here's the problem. The problem is if something doesn't smell like a win, then we back away from it. We resist it. If this thing, if it doesn't have the appearance of success and progress, then I don't want anything to do with it. As a matter of fact, I'm going to resist it. And the resistance that we end up putting up, we try to create this safe, little, comfortable space around us, this zone that is impenetrable to anything that looks or feels like negativity or despair or darkness or failure or regret. That one episode of The Bachelor that I saw, you know what I'm talking about. Regret, failure, despair. But the problem is when we do that, we actually build walls around ourselves. And we keep progress out. Because progress doesn't look like progress. Success doesn't always look like success. And we end up resisting. So think about your own life. Think about the past 10 years. You went through stuff. Some of it was legitimately bad. Some of it was legitimately nasty. Like some of it was horrible. Some of it was unjust. Some of it should not have happened. But you're here now. And you can look back. And you've made progress. When you were going through it, you didn't want anything to do with it. But today, it's become part of your story. Today, it's made you stronger. Today, it's made you wiser. You've emerged from that and you're on a different level now. So I think what happens is we become guilty of rejecting things in our life that don't seem like progress and only embracing the things in our life that do. And if we take that approach, we'll actually miss it. We'll miss the whole thing. So here's what I'm trying to give you today, and I hope that this helps. A new perspective about progress. That there's a greater story underneath your story. If you read the Bible from cover to cover, you'll find that there is this reoccurring theme. And it's like darkness to light, slavery to freedom, oppression to liberation, lost to found. And if you were to sum up that theme, you could say that the central message and theme of the Bible is death to life. And that death is that passage that we pass through. Yes, it hurts. And yes, it's difficult. And yes, it's dark. But the underlining story is the story of the cross. And the cross gives you hope. Because when you're taking all those steps back, when you're falling backward in slow motion, like, it's discouraging. You just want to lose hope. Despair sets in. But if you know that it's part of the process, and if you know that God is at work, then you can have hope while you're going through that. And so that's what I hope for you, that this is a new perspective on what it means. And so the last question that I ask you is, do you recognize progress? Because it's there. It's happening right now. Can you embrace it? And can you recognize it? And realize that you're going to emerge from it, and you're going to be at a new place. That you're just passing from death to life. And it's the story of the cross. And so what I wanted us to do today is, I want us just to take a few minutes and think about progress in our own life. And I want to invite you this morning to bow your heads with me and close your eyes, and and I want us to take a couple of minutes and to just sit quietly so that God can speak to our hearts and our souls. You know, I think that learning to listen to God is it's an art form. It's something you can practice and you can learn. And I think God is always speaking to us, but our minds are racing and the clock is always ticking. Sunday, this first day of the week, this is a good time for us just to pause. I think sometimes we miss the voice of God because it sounds like our own voice. Or sometimes we miss the voice of God because it sounds like someone else's. Sometimes people will talk with me after a sermon and they'll say, "Hey, you know, I was really touched. I was really impacted by what you said today." And then they'll go on to say something that I didn't even say. And I think it's so great because they thought they heard me, but they were probably hearing God. And so I think God speaks to you. I think God is whispering and learning to be still and listen. So let's take 2 minutes. Let's think about God's word. Let's think about the story of Jesus. Let's think about progress in our own life. you're here this morning, and I just want to invite you, let's just stay for a few minutes with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, because I want to keep praying. But if you're here this morning and you would like prayer, you would like prayer for a certain thing, it doesn't matter, whatever it is, progress, whatever, you just know there's something in you right now that you want prayer, I want to invite you just to stand. I'm not going to make you come forward. I'm just going to pray for you right there. I'm going to pray for all of us. But if you're here this morning and you just feel like you need prayer today, just stand to your feet, and I want to pray for you. God, you know what each and every person that is standing right now, you know what they're going through. You know the deepest areas of their heart and their life. And Lord, I just pray right now that you just would release your grace and your love and your mercy. I pray, God, that you would just breathe life and encouragement into them. That negative circumstances and difficulties and setbacks and all of the stuff that has been thrown at them, but yet they're still here, they're still right now standing because of your love, because of your grace. God, I pray that you will show them, teach them, help them understand that you are not finished, that you are only getting started in their life, that your plans are great for them, God. Lord, I pray that you would just move. I pray that you would bless them this week. God, help them to see and know and understand that you're real and that you care. So God, we just pray a special release of your grace and your love and your mercy on each and every person that's standing today. In Jesus' name, if you agree, shout a big amen. Amen. Let's thank God today for those who have received prayer. God bless you. You may be seated.